Biblical separation. Biblical separation. Now that may sound a little odd to you if you've not been in church for very long. You may wonder why churches or pastors have ever said anything about separation. But in our study this morning, as we come to Ezra chapter 9, separation becomes a significant issue. A concern is raised regarding separation. And so this morning we want to begin to study what it is and the foundation of it so that then we can understand what God was asking them to do and what God might be asking us to do as well. Ezra chapter 9, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says this: "Now, when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, 'The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to the abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites.'" They, Israel, at this time, did not look like Israel. They were beginning to look like every other nation, and they were doing what the Bible says here, abominations. That is, things that were hated by God because they contradicted the truth of God. Whatever is done that doesn't agree with God's truth before God would be sin. And here, even called an abomination. For, the Bible says, why was Israel doing this? "For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hands of the princes and rulers have been chief in the trespass." Again, here it is called a sin that they have mingled together. "And when I heard this," that is Ezra, "I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished." He has just shown a significant measure of grief. That's what tearing the clothes meant in the Bible. They would tear their clothes. Sometimes they would put ashes on their head. But he is so grieved, he is so troubled, he is so bothered by this lack of separation that he even pulls his hair out, pulls out his beard, which would be a significantly painful thing to do. And the Bible then says, "As he does all of this, then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel." Why? Because of the transgression, the sin, the breaking of God's law, of those that had been carried away, "and I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the time of the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness. It hurt inside. And having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God and said, 'Oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities, our sin, our trespass, our breaking of your law are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens.'" The obvious understanding of this passage is that Israel should have been separated. And because they were not, the lack of separation, the marriages between Israel's sons and the foreign woman, or their daughters and foreign men, because of that intermarrying, they lost their distinction. They were not what God was wanting them to be. They were doing according to the abominations. Now, think with me for just a moment, if you would, about how an American might read this text, because we often read things based on our own understanding. Do you know that America has been known for years as a melting pot? Have you ever heard that phrase before? Melting pot means that people from England, Germany, Spain, Italy, France, it really didn't matter. People from all over the world came to America, and in a pot that's hot enough to melt things, things become liquid and they begin to become one. They lose some of their own distinct properties, and they gain some new properties, but all that come into America are supposed to take as a guide our Constitution, our flag, And so if you want to be one of us, that's fine. Bring your national heritage with you, but claim the flag, claim the country, claim the laws that we have here. And it is such a part of American history that if you take out your coins, your quarters, your pennies, your nickels, your dimes, and you look at them, there's a little phrase written on there. Do you know what that phrase is? Oh, that's a good one. But the other one on there is E pluribus unum or unum. Do you know what that means? Out of many, one. So in America, we have this view that taking or mixing a variety of things and bringing them into one is not a bad thing. But if you were to present this text, read this text on national television, where there is concern over separation from one nation from another one, the commentators, the newspaper writers would say that's odd, that's severe, that's divisive, and may even, because I hear this word quite a bit, be bigoted. So if that's the way America would hear it, does this biblical separation have any part in our lives today? Does it have any influence upon the church today? And if so, what? If you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, we want to go back to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis in chapter number 12. The book of Genesis in chapter number 12. I want to give you a basic history. And then we're going to have several things that faith or separation have to do with, or the foundation for them, based on the text that we're going to look at here. Genesis chapter 12, beginning of your Bible, the first book, the 12th chapter, we find a basic history. Before I read it, let me summarize the basic history I want you to have. God chose to make one nation that would be different than any other nation. He was going to give them a special name, a special land, and a special set of promises that they would carry. God was going to choose out a nation. That nation, according to the Bible, is called Israel. We hear a lot about them in the news today. That is a special nation. God chose to make Israel and give them a special land. In the Bible, that land is called Canaan. In our generation today, you hear about the Middle East, you hear about the land between the Mediterranean and the River Jordan, that area in that part of the world, that is promised to God, by God, to Israel, that is their land. And God gave them some special promises. Let's look at how God spoke to Abraham, beginning here in chapter 12, verse number 1, to get a foundation or the basis for biblical separation. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, who would later be called Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now this verse here has the basis for biblical separation. The basis for biblical separation is faith in the command or promises of God. The basis for biblical separation is faith in the command or promises of God. Simply by way of visualization for the children, I hope, but also for you as we speak this morning, we're going to put Abraham's country and Abraham's family over here. God came to Abraham, so Abraham was in a place with his family, and God said, Abraham, I want you to get out. Let me put in the word separate. That's what we're dealing with. Abram, get out. Separate from your and from your family, and Abram, I want you to go to a land, a different place. I want you to go to a land that I will promise you, a land of blessing. Abram, you are right now in one place. You cannot have my blessing until you separate from the country where you are now. For Abram to do that, he would have to make a choice to separate from one to go to the other. God gave a command to him, Abram, get thee out. And Abram was going to have to make a choice. The command required Abram to leave one particular place and go to another. Look with me at verses 2 and 3 to the promises God gave Abram. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. How many of you this morning, if God said to you, I will make you great, would want that blessing? Would you want to have God's blessing such that you would be in God's eyes great? I think everybody would. If God said, I could give to you blessing greater than anyone else is receiving, would you want it? I think everybody would. I don't think anybody would look at God and go, God, no, I would really like if you would rather please God send me some cursing, difficulty, and trial. How many people want that? They don't. But Abram was given the promise of blessing only if he would separate from the family that he knew. How would Abraham enjoy the promises of God? Abraham had to make a choice. I've got my mom and dad over here. All my family that I've known. I've got the land that I'm used to. Or I can separate from this, and I can begin walking to a place I've never seen. A place I have no title for. And I'm going to go to that place, and I'm going to trust that God is telling me what is true. Which would you take? Can I tell you that most people would stay home? Most people would stay home. Because what you're asking someone to do, the basis for biblical separation, is put confidence in God's word and some things that they may have never seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The basis. Abraham didn't get up one morning and say, you know what? I'm so much better than my family. I think I'll leave and I'll start my own country. He didn't do that. He got up one day and God came to speak to him and said, Abram, I want to bless you. I want to make you great. I want to give you a land. But in order to do that, Abram, you've got to leave these people. In order to gain the promise of God, he had to leave the country that he knew, perhaps the country that he loved. And how did Abraham do? Verse number 4. So Abram departed. We could also then, in our consideration, use the word separated. The Bible's word is right. I just want you to see what we're dealing with. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Separation by faith is key to receiving God's blessings. Separation by faith is key to receiving God's blessings. Note again, Abraham back at home. If Abraham had got up one morning all by himself and said, I wonder if there's a land somewhere that would be fun to go to, and got up and began to walk away from his family, that separation alone would not give him the blessing of God. Does that make sense? The reason he was going to be blessed is because he was trusting what God told him. It was not enough just to separate. You can't leave church this morning and say, ha, I'm going to have the blessing of God. I'm going to leave my family behind, and I'm going to fly over to the Middle East, and there, like Abraham, I will receive the blessing of God. Abram received the blessing of God because he took God's word and he trusted what God said, believing that God would give him what God promised to give him. Faith is key to separation if you want to receive the blessing of God. It was a choice that Abraham made to place greater value on what God said than anything Abraham knew to this point. Abraham had to make a choice. And the Bible says that choice was a choice of faith. The New Testament, book of Hebrews chapter 11, says, by faith, Abram, when he was called to go into a country which he should have to receive for an inheritance, the Bible says he went out. He separated from that to go to the place that he had never seen. That he should have to receive for an inheritance. not knowing whither he went. He didn't know what it was, but he trusted God. Let me give this for you this morning. I want you to understand this faith is not simply mental agreement. Abraham didn't sit at home and say, you know what? I believe God is true. If I were to leave my home, I would get a blessing. And then his family came and said, you know what? God is true. If I left here, I would get a blessing. That's not biblical faith. Because it didn't motivate Abram to move away from one thing for another. Biblical faith is not just an emotional response. Abram didn't wake up in the morning and say, I felt the Spirit in here today. I'm going to move. That wasn't biblical faith. Biblical faith was Abraham hearing God's word and saying, if God said it, I believe it, and was motivated from the inside to move toward what God said. Biblical faith is essential to separation. Biblical faith is essential to biblical separation. Now, I want you to notice Abraham obviously wanted the blessing of God because he separated from his family in order to get it. But I also want you to realize that blessing was not for Abraham alone. The book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. The Bible says, Abram, if you'll leave, I'll take you to a country, and in that country I will make you great, and I will bless them that bless you, I will curse them that curse you, but I'll make of you a great nation. So Abram, the promises you get will be for you as you go, and when you get there, Abraham, those promises will pass on to your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. They too can have these wonderful blessings. God was not just calling a man out from the nations of the world. He was now calling out an entire group of people to follow God and obey Him instead of following the world and obeying it. He was asking a whole nation of people, Israel, to obey Him and not do what the world did around them. Israel, if you'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 26, Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 16, Israel agreed to this. God said, Israel, I want you to separate and I want you to obey me. And Israel agreed to do it. Why would they agree to do that? Why would Israel agree to separate from people around them? Wouldn't there be economic value to having good covenants and promises and agreements with other nations? I mean, that's what we're always told. If you make an agreement with Canada, and you make an agreement with Mexico, and you make an agreement with India, and you make an agreement with China, this will all help our economy. Wouldn't that be true for them? In order to have the blessing that God promised, they had to separate. Look at the verse here, verse 16. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God. You said the God of heaven who made you is going to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched, God has said this day, to be that you will be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made in praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. Even as God said, Abram, if you'll leave this country and go, and I'll show you, I will make you great. Now God says to the entire nation, if you'll obey me, if you'll keep my word, biblical faith is essential to biblical separation. If you'll keep my words and my commandments, then I will make you above all nations. Abram would be above other men. The nation would be above other nations if they separated and obeyed God's law. To maintain this separation, God gave them some instruction. Would you look at Deuteronomy 7? In order to maintain this separation, God gave them instruction in Deuteronomy chapter 7 regarding their relationship with other nations. separation was all about, there in the notes, young people, separation was all about drawing closer to God. The basis of biblical separation is the commands of God. Separation by faith is essential to receiving the blessing of God, and separation is all about drawing closer to God. Deuteronomy 7, verse number 2. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them, your enemies, in the land that I promised to give you, before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them, and thou shalt make no covenant, no promise, no agreement with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make, what's this? Marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter take unto, shalt thou take unto thy son. Why not, God? For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. Why did God not want any covenants with other nations? Why did God not want marriages with other nations? God wanted the people separated so that they would love him, so that they would know him, so that they would serve him. Separation was all about drawing closer to God. Separation had nothing to do with pride of one man over another man. We said earlier, Abraham didn't wake up one morning and go, wait a minute, I am so much smarter than the rest of my family. I have got to get out of here and find some people that are more like me. Abraham didn't wake up one morning and go, you know what, I keep my room a whole lot safer than anybody else. I'm getting out of this place because I'm better than them. Abraham didn't wake up one morning and say, you know what, I've got better musical ability than everybody in here. I'm going to leave these people and go find a place where I'm properly recognized. It was not pride on Abraham's part. Abraham didn't leave because he thought he was better. Abraham left because he determined that God was better. Anytime you compare God with anyone or anything else, God should always be higher. God should always be greater in our minds. Yes? So God said, Abraham, even though you're here in your country, I need you to go to another country. And Abraham had to say, is God's word better or is man's word better? Well, since God's word is better, I will make the decision to separate from my family and begin to move toward this place, toward the promises, toward the blessings that God said I would receive. It has nothing to do, when we talk of biblical separation, of anybody in this room or anybody in the world being better than someone else. It has everything to do with God and his word being greater than man and his word. Remember, the basis for separation is the command or promises of God. And so, in order to have that separation, there must be a drawing closer to God, which pulls us away from the world. Separation was the result of Abraham's faith toward God. Notice this. If you have a group of children playing on the floor, and they have with them a bunch of blocks that they are building with, and daddy or mommy walk into the room and say, children, please go wash your hands. And one child begins to obey, what will happen to his relationship with the rest of the children who are disobeying? He is now going to be separating from them, because obedience to the mom requires separation from anyone that is disobeying. Right? So then Abraham, if he was to obey God, had to separate from the people who were not obeying God. Every time by faith we obey God, we will of necessity be separating from people who do not obey God. That makes sense, doesn't it? Anytime we obey God to do his will, we will be separating from anyone else that will not obey God. To love God alone, they could not marry those that didn't love God. That makes sense as well. But I also want you to see, not only was it a result of faith, this separation, but separation is also the result of gratitude. How many of you have ever received something from somebody that you just felt so blessed in your soul that you had to go tell them how much appreciating you were of what they did? And maybe even after you did that, you felt like, you know, this just isn't enough. I need to do something more to show them how much I have appreciated what they did. What would it have seemed like if Abraham left his country, God began to bless him, he got to the land, he saw the land, and he said, thank you, God, for all these blessings. And he walked back home, and he sat down with his family, and said, you wouldn't believe what God could do for someone that obeys him. And he sat there, and never went back to the land. That would be the height of ingratitude. Because God had begun to fill his life with blessing. He began to help him. He began to give him a son. He began to show him the land. And then for Abraham to turn back and say, oh, I don't think I'll stay with God. I think I'll go back to my family. That would be ingratitude. It would be ungrateful. And so when we begin to receive the blessing of God, the natural response of love is to move closer to God and say, God, I really love what you are doing for me. I really appreciate what you're doing for me. I have really been blessed by what you're doing for me. And as I draw closer to God, I am of necessity again separating from those that will not move closer to God. Fail to get closer to God would seem like ingratitude. Number three there in the notes are three or four, young people. Separation is a positive activity that preserves a priority relationship. Separation is a positive activity that preserves a priority relationship. Many times when the word separation is used, as it would be with our country today for people to speak of it, it's viewed as a negative thing. But when I got married, I spoke to my wife loving words of separation. Did any of you do that? When I got to the front of the church with my pastor there, and my wife and I, or to me, at that point we hadn't yet been wedded, we were getting there. While we were standing there, I spoke to her words of separation, and the whole congregation nodded their heads and thought this was a great time. Do you know what I said to her? I said, forsaking all others. You know what those words are? Those are words of separation. And everybody in the room thought I was doing a great thing. Why? Because I was committing to Karen that I would limit intimacy with her only. That I would reject any relationship, activity, or anything in my life that would pull me away from intimacy with her and would draw me into intimacy with anybody else. I was forsaking all others. I was declaring openly that I wanted to be separated so that I could be close to her. Anybody else give words of separation to somebody at their wedding vows? I hope you did. And I hope you're willing to keep those words. The basis for biblical separation is the command or promise of God. Faith is essential to receiving the promised blessings that come with those commands. Separation is all about drawing closer to God. It's not about personal pride. And separation is a positive activity that preserves a priority relationship. Now, we're just here this morning laying the foundation. Yet there are, if we take just this foundation, there are two groups of people that need to make a choice just like Abraham did. Every child of God this morning, everyone here that is born again, must make a choice. The Bible says in the New Testament, book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 6, it asks the question, what concord, what agreement does Christ have with Belial? Do Jesus and the devil have any agreement together? What agreement, what togetherness is there with light and darkness? There is no agreement. And since a believer has been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and has been translated or moved into the kingdom of light, what agreement should the child of God have with a sinful world? So he says these words, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. There should be, according to God, an obvious distinction between Bob and the people that he works with that don't know Christ, right? I mean, that's what it should be. When Junior goes with Velma to the hospitals, there should be an obvious distinction between the things Junior speaks of and the things that other people there that do not know Christ speak of. When Ralph goes to work, there should be an obvious distinction between the one who knows God and the one who does not know God. That's what he's saying. So this morning,
child of God? Will you separate from the world things that God does not delight in and come closer to God, knowing that even as you do that, you will separate even farther from those that are disobeying God? Please understand this. I'm not saying you won't ever speak to them. And I'm not saying you won't show the love of Christ, but you won't make a bond in friendship that will unite yourself with them, that will cause you to compromise with them. You will not find yourself doing the same activities that they are doing, but you will find yourself exemplifying the traits of Christ and then reaching out to them saying, "Can I show you the one who can help you as well?" So that you can bring them from darkness into light, even as somebody did for you. But this morning, there's another group of people here. They might be saying this morning, "Well, preacher, whoo, I don't even know God. I am not a child of God. I'm not born again. I don't even go to church all that often, you know. This doesn't apply to me then, does it?" Actually, it does. Because this morning, as Abraham had a choice, you have a choice. Because as Abraham had a choice, God is giving you a choice. There is, as Abraham was promised, a land and a blessing. God promises to all mankind a blessing of eternal life. Where would that be experienced? Starts here. When I got saved, I got eternal life. I've got it right now. But one day I will enjoy the blessing of God in a place called heaven. I will have eternal life. But as Abraham had something, what was keeping Abraham from the blessing over there in the promised land? It was his family and his country. Until he left that, he could not go to that promised place. So also then, you and I have something that keeps us from heaven. God will not let us take our sin with us to heaven, will it? That must be left here. It must be left behind us somehow. So in order to get to God's promise, there must be some way that we can separate ourselves from the sin that God says cannot go into heaven. How can that be done? Say, "Preacher, I don't sin." Have you ever heard somebody say that? We ask children sometimes in our Sunday school and our kids club program, "How many of you have sinned?" And some will raise their hand, "No, I've not done anything wrong." "You've never disobeyed your mom?" "Well, maybe once." Okay, that's sin. The Bible says, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Ecclesiastes 7:20. But what's the result of sin? Revelation 21:8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and all those bad people and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Sin keeps us out of heaven, like Abraham's family was keeping him from the promised land until he made a choice to separate. But how can you and I separate? Okay, let's go back to Abraham. How could Abraham separate from his family to go to that land? The basis for biblical separation is the promise or command of God. God said, "Abraham, if you'll leave, I will give," right? So then if I'm to leave here and leave my sin to go to heaven, what promise does God give me that I could believe like Abraham believed? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," here's the word, okay, "believeth in him should not perish," there's the promise, "but have everlasting life." But what is it that I'm going to believe? The Bible says, "Whosoever believeth in him." What did he do? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3 says, "Christ died for our sins." That is, Christ took our place. That is Christ, when he came down from heaven, he took our sin and he put it on himself. And when he went to the cross, your sins were separated from you to him so that he would pay the punishment for
Christ died for our sins. He died for them. But you've got to make a choice to believe that He died for you, so that you can leave those sins behind and go to heaven, where He will welcome you as one forgiven of sin, whose punishment has already been paid. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Jesus took our sins. He took our place so that He could make a way for man to be separated from sin, the punishment, and the power, so that one day we could be in heaven and be separated from the presence of sin for all eternity. Your choice is this, just like Abraham. Abraham could have stayed in his country and never gotten the blessing of God. We can stay in our sin and never see eternal life, because the Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son of God hath not seen life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He that believeth," the Bible says, "is not condemned, but he that believeth not," the Bible says, "is condemned already." If I don't believe what God says about Jesus taking my sin, then the Bible says I've still got my sin, I will die in my sin, I will go to an eternal fire called hell, and one day be cast into a lake of fire for eternity. The Bible says that's where the devil and the beast and the false prophet will be tormented day and night forever. It's not a temporary passing thing. But you know what, this morning, like Abraham had his country and his family, there may be somebody here this morning that doesn't know God, and pride is something you're going to have to separate from in order to get the blessing of God and salvation. Because pride will say, "I'm not going forward in a church service. No, hey, I'm not raising my hand letting the preacher know I'm under conviction. No, I'll take care of this another time." And we'll put it off, and it'll never be done. And we'll carry that sin around with us, and we'll carry that sin around with us, and one day we'll stand before God, and He will say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." Because of pride. "I don't want my husband or my wife to know that I'm lost." One day they will know. Because one day they'll be in the glories of heaven and you won't be there. Separate from pride. Separate from that sin by believing in Jesus Christ.